This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to the podcast that rocks, weekly new podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Thank you all so much for waiting for us, for just getting through some obvious shenanigans and everything like that. Hope you all are doing well. I would also like to add before we start, we are sponsored here for and for as long as they put up with us by Heavies. Everyone do the profile. Show off what we have. We'll do pitches later, maybe, but I just want to let you guys know, because like if you've been following me for the past year, you already know I'm with Heavies right now. But the podcast is now a Heavies podcast type thing. So if you ever want a discount, just leave a comment. We'll make sure you're taken care of. Blah, blah, blah. That's enough of a pitch for now. We love Heavies. Thank you very much for sending these. We really do appreciate it. So now here's 30 minutes of Heavies testimonials from us. No, we're not going to do that. I promise.
Do you want us to give testimonials though? Because I've had nothing but great things with this.
Heavies.
Thank you, Heavies. We'll need the testimonials off the podcast. That's probably a better way to do it. The more professional style. So we're not just giving everyone an infomercial in chat. I get so sick of everyone in my life. Thank God for Heavies. I can just turn on my active noise canceling and block them out. See, that's just, I don't want to do that.
I take the train to go to work into Manhattan. If I have like the noise or I don't even need the noise cancellation on, when I'm just on the platform, I don't even hear the train like buzzing past me. Even like the loudest thing you could think of. And like, I could still listen to like my metal uninterrupted. It's awesome.
Well, there you go. So also
perfect for the tube.
Not to point anything out, but someone listened to Evanescence's Fallen for their first album on Heavies.
I'll never guess who.
Guess who?
Never.
Yeah. Could be any one of us.
Yes, that's correct. Maybe all three of us did in a listening party.
They don't know that.
If we get to if we get to 50 likes, we will play around with one festival rock or flop. We already have at least one super chat. If we get to 5 individual super chats of any cost, we'll do an extra band on each festival. I think that's a fun little way to encourage. But also, we have one festival already guaranteed, so we'll do super chats at the end. You guys know what's going on. My wife is in the chat. Everyone say hi to her. She's the best. This was a bit of a this was a bit of a slow news week. And the news stories that dropped were either stupid or follow-ups or just basic announcements. It's nice to have a quiet week, right? Or at least in our world, because sometimes we have the crap weeks where everything's a disaster. So
we'll take it over pressing, some bad stuff. Yeah.
Yes. We'll take it over some of the bad weeks we've had. So I pivoted. And as we just started this week, that technical anniversary of the 44 days in 1991, where 7 monumental albums came out in 44 days. I think we should rank them. And that's the topic we're going to go for. And boy, oh boy, are we going to be wrong. Wrong. Yeah.
We're going to start some wars today.
Yes. Oh, and honestly, this is one situation where I say, go ahead, leave comments. That's fine. We encourage it, but just keep in mind, we're going to try to do our thing. We're going to ask the chat and then we'll go from there and everyone's going to be offended and that's fine, but we'll figure it out when we get there. Sound good? I look forward to the comments and the chaos. It's going to be something. Please hit the like button. So these 7 albums, Both Use Your Illusions, Guns N' Roses, Metallica's self-titled, Nirvana's Nevermind, Pearl Jam's 10, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger all came out in less than 7 weeks. This was roughly 15 to 20 years before Rowan was born.
Not that young. 10 years.
Okay, there you go. Oh, yeah, I was way off. What the
heck? Yeah. There's a difference between 10 years and 20 years. I wasn't born in 2011. I'm not 14.
Okay, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah. But you know, I'm working. What 14-year-old is working full-time, not in school?
I don't know.
They made that illegal.
Well, a lot of states now are making that legal again. So, actually, topical. Oh, God. Topical. Okay, yeah. All right. We're going to talk about the music. The music. So, I'm just going to say this. Yes, this is a brutal battle. 1991 was crazy for music. So, the three of us are going to discuss the best we can, which we think the ranking, 1 through 7. I'll put it to the chat. However, I don't think we could get all 7 on here in one poll. So I'll do like the top 4 in chat after we decide ours. No one is wrong. This is just an opinion. We're all friends. This is a preemptive stop yelling at each other to everyone in chat in the comment section.
You say that now, but I feel like at the end of this conversation, we're going to have digital knives at each other's throats.
We're going to get clipped. And like people react to clips on YouTube and TikTok. Look at these losers saying this is the worst. So,
yeah, some guy is going to make their own content. Be like, why each and every single one of these people are wrong?
Yes. So, all right. Does anyone have any thoughts or anything they want to say right now as to say worst or best at a quick glance? Not saying we don't have to go through each one just yet. Does anyone have any thoughts for anything super passionate about right now? Alex?
I would. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Roan, if you jump in.
Yeah, no, sorry. I didn't know we were taking turns. I'm just going to say it right now. Black Album. Just because, like, I just have, like, a lot of, like, nostalgia for that record. It's probably a joke at this point, but it really was one of the first metal albums, like, full albums I really got into. Metallica was just, like, that introductory band for me. And I just kind of fell in love with that whole thing, really. Like, I don't really come back to it all that often, but, like, when I do, it just feels nice. Just kind of, like, you just feel that nostalgia, and I just enjoy it for that.
Okay.
The Black Album is so comfy to Rowan. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good album. I know people like great album. I know people like hounded Metallica when it came out. It's like, oh, you guys are selling out and all stuff. There's some great freaking songs on that album. Not even just Enter Sandman.
Oh yeah.
The Black Album is my choice for number one as well. Like hands down. For sentimental reasons and other reasons that we can dig into.
Very fair.
I don't know.
I'm just when? Like this. I'm not just putting it number one. I'm just kind of guiding things right now. See, my thing also, by the way, Holier Than Thou is one of my favorite songs from Metallica ever. Not just Black Album, but all Metallica.
Oh, that's a great one.
Right. So
Sabatru's guitar. I love that.
Sure. So here's the thing about this, too. I also feel, and we can jump in, we could talk and pass about each album. We don't have to now. I just want to get some quick thoughts. I also think Pearl Jam's 10 is a huge statement of that time. This is grunge personified and like in its purest, most packaged perfectly album of what was going on at that time frame. And that's what I love about it. And that's still, I still think it's Pearl Jam's best. And they've had great albums since then. But you listen to 10 Absolutely. Front to back, and it's just so iconic from that time period, from grunge, from Pearl Jam, just across the board.
Well, and this was one of those albums that really kicked off the transition away from hair metal. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to any of the hair metal guys about it, or the hair metal elitists, mm-hmm. or any of the hair band fans, they will probably tell you how much they hate this album because of that, because it was that segue out of the hair metal era.
Sure. So
now,
go ahead.
I'm probably going to get some crap from both of you, but out of the three grunge albums that we got here, this is the weakest one for me.
Really? Okay.
10. It's not a bad album.
Yeah. I'm not going to say you're wrong on that, because look at the comparison, like the competition from the grunge.
Yeah.
Totally.
To be honest, Pearl Jam has just been like, okay, in my book. I've never really gotten that deep into them. Really? Just like, I just always enjoyed like Nirvana, Soundgarden, and Alice in Chains a lot more. Yeah.
That's fun. No, that's an understandable.
Those three, I will tell you. Mm-hmm. Nirvana is my favorite of the grunge contenders here for sure.
Okay. Also, I'm going to bump this up too. And also, I love Soundgarden to the point. I mean, people that know me know how much I love Soundgarden. So I actually put this up there as well. Man, this thing is not super smooth because Bad Motorfinger was the sophomore, but the songs were still so perfect now. Like when you hear Jesus Christ Pose and you listen to it and you hear that animosity and like message from Chris Cornell screaming his head off, it still sounds so amazing. And all a Bad Motorfinger like that with Rusty Cage and things like that too. There's so much good stuff on there. So
Rusty Cage is probably some of my favorite guitar riffs of all time. Really,
that was one of the songs I got to shoot like the photos behind me. That was what one of them when that was playing
for real
in the photo pit like the last 3 weeks like, before he passed on that final tour. Yeah, it's so, like seeing that right up
awesome,
and it was like all the lights and stuff. I was like, and he still had the chops to sing like perfectly. Like he didn't age. So. Okay, so yeah. I'm putting the grunge ones up front more. This is not in any specific order yet. So this is where we start hurting some feelings. What do we think of the bottom three that we haven't talked about yet?
I'm not a huge Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. I like what they did.
Okay.
And I like the vibe, you know, that they try to bring. I've never really been a huge fan. You know, I'll jam out. I'll sing along to the singles. Sure. I've never been a really big Chili Peppers fan, though. I never have.
Okay.
So that one,
okay, that's fair.
I only know maybe like three or four songs off this album off the top of my head.
Okay,
and like they're the hits, so the ones that everyone knows. That's kind of like my relationship with the Red Hot Chili Peppers as well. I tried to like listen to full albums, I can never get into it. I just like the hits that everyone knows and likes.
Sure.
And I'm not like going to clown on anyone if this is like your favorite album of the seven, but like, I don't know. It's just like, it's just not my vibe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair. So I will say this, 2 points about this. One's about Red Hot Chili Peppers. First of all, this and Californication, I think are Red Hot Chili Peppers' most iconic albums, in my opinion. But I still kind of agree with both of you. Like they do not beat the top four. In retrospect and looking at that, it is how big of a deal this album was. I still don't put it above the top four that we just posted on here. They're not even in order yet. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say exactly what you iconic goes for Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, you've got Under the Bridge and Suck My Kiss off of that album. Those are two of the top Red Hot Chili Peppers songs still to this day. And you listen to any radio station, you know, that's doing current rock, they're still going to throw that in every couple of hours and you're going to get so sick of it, but it's still those staples of Red Hot Chili Peppers. And so this album was definitely like one of the quintessential Chili Peppers albums.
Sure.
Do you want to hear like a funny story that my family has with this album?
Sure.
I don't know.
With Blood Sugar Sex Magik and your family, go ahead, Rowan.
Okay, yeah. So fun fact, my dad's favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song is Give It Away off this album, and the only reason that is because during the heyday of the Simpsons when they were just new and i.e. good, when the Red Hot Chili Peppers appeared on the Simpsons, that was not only the song they played, but also there's like this bit where
Pep Bowes, I remember.
Where Krusty the Krusty the Clown goes into their dressing room where it's like, oh, hey, you gotta change the lyrics because it's like it's TV. It's like, oh, no, wait, man, like our lyrics are our children. It's like go pound sand. And he's like, well, how about instead of what I got to give it, put it in you. How about what I want to do is hug and kiss you. Holy crap. That's a lot better. Why didn't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad just loves that episode.
Yeah. 90s Simpsons is the best TV, not just best Simpsons, but like the top of TV and television. So.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. Watches the current episodes of The Simpsons. I don't know anyone who still talks about it, but they still make it. Mm-hmm. And I'm baffled.
I will say this. One thing I want to point out for Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1 or 2, Ambitious definitely continued them on after hair metal was dying. I'll say this, one is better than two, in my opinion.
I will agree.
To be honest, I don't think I've ever even asked myself which of the two I prefer. I think, tell us about this. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, one has November Rain, and that's a huge plus. Two has My World, and that's a huge negative.
True, yeah. But
so, yeah.
I don't. I don't remember like the full albums per se for either one, but I do remember like You Will Be Mine off two. And also I just really love the guitar work off of that one.
Okay. Alex, any thoughts about,
so, no, that might do it for me.
Any thoughts?
First one's really, I mean, of the two, I agree. User Illusion one is better. Mm-hmm. I think some of the, like, Don't Cry, that one's always been one of the stick around Guns N' Roses tracks. November Rain, people still talk about that one. What other ones are on that one? They did like the Paul McCartney cover on User Illusion one. There, so that was covers still, on
both. So yeah. And
well, the second one was the Bob Dylan cover, right?
Yes. Not, it was.
Yeah, Knocking on Heaven's Door. I'm pulling it up right now. And so, I mean, User Illusion 2 has got Civil War. That one's a banger. I really enjoy the Three Teeth cover that just came out this year. That one's really good. That is an awesome cover if you've not checked it out
yet. It's gritty and industrial. It's pretty awesome. So,
and with Rowan's point, You Could Be Mine is also on Use Your Illusion.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Part two, but I think the first one is just a little bit stronger all the way through, and then the second one's got a little hits here and there.
Sure. And by User Illusion 2, again, it feels like there's such a gap between the two. No, these were all released in the same 7 weeks, which is still wild to me, you know? So
it's it the same day? I forget.
I don't
believe so. At least those two albums?
I don't believe so. I could be wrong. I do not believe they're on the same day.
Could Interesting. Be
wrong. However, I like where in the order 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think User Illusion 1 is good where it is. Do you think which is better, Blood Sugar Sex Magik or User Illusion 2?
If we're just going off of like I don't know, quantity, I know more songs off of Blood Sugar Sex Magik off the top of my head compared to User Illusion 2.
Okay.
Let me see here. If we're talking like, are we talking like overall just better albums in our opinions right here, right now?
Yeah. To make it easier. Yes. Just overall your own off the cuff opinion of how you feel about the music and what you know about it.
All right. Let's see what's on that one. What's Blood
Sugar? To be honest too, like I can't I'm only kind of like speaking for myself really. If I got like two very, very like big albums like from the same band, like maybe like 1 or 2 weeks from each other, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it might be overwhelming a little bit. If does that make sense?
Sure, but can
you have the phrase internet. That right?
Yeah, you didn't.
But there's no internet, so you're not going to get fatigued.
Yeah, and you're the best. Like radio in '91 actually did play more music, less ads, and also it was chock full of this. So you are lucky if you got to hear the singles, because there was so much new content being spammed all the time. So it was a very different time. Like I was too young to even appreciate something like this. That means Alex is even younger. So just look at it, something like this too. Okay. Got to go to what's one of the malls, like one of the mall CD stores. Was Sam Goody around back then?
You know what that is?
Okay. Sam Goody was a bigger thing in the Midwest, like a CD store in the mall. So like whatever, like radio, like whatever, like music store you went to, it's like, okay, got to come in like 7 times in the next 6 weeks to buy all this stuff. That like, geez. Yeah. So.
Man, I also, can imagine like, radio stations at that time. That would have been so freaking cool.
It would have been
just chilling in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
but like to my point, it's, like, I like having variety in my music, and especially if I was around during that time where it's like you kind of did have to be more selective because you didn't have streaming. What you listened to was what you bought, and you had to make do with that. If I had 30 something songs of Guns N' Roses and I had to like kind of like work my way through it, and that was my music for whatever amount of time, I don't know. I feel like I would get kind of like bored and things might just end up sounding like all the same after a while. I like having that variety. So at least I can say with Blood Sugar Sex Magik, it's something different.
I hope what I said
makes sense.
It does. I will say this. When you look at these seven, Red Hot Chili Peppers does stand out for what it is. It's not grunge. It's not Metallica. It's not Guns N' Roses either. They are in their own little pocket of what they're doing.
And I can appreciate that every single one of these albums is a super pivotal album for fans of the time, or even for like that little niche genre of the time. Like, these are really good albums overall, which is the point, obviously. Yeah. I would put Red Hot Chili Peppers above both, I think, honestly. Okay.
Oh, both Use Your Illusions. Interesting.
I do. Only because Use Your Illusion 1, it is a stronger album of the two Guns N' Roses, you know, albums here. But it still doesn't have as much of the staying power, if you will, for a broader audience. Red Hot Chili Peppers, I think, does. Even though we may not be super fans of the band, staying power, you can't deny it.
I also want to interrupt just one thing. Wade in the chat. Thank you, Wade, for looking this up. Both of them were released on the same day, September 17th, 1991.
Nice.
So, yeah.
But to my point, then, that just feels like a lot of music just to kind of like get through and pick out what songs are like your favorite.
That's what Guns N' Roses did, though. Guns N' Roses was on such a higher playing field after so much coke-ridden success in the 90s that they weren't going to be told no. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, are we okay with the bottom three?
This is fine for me. Okay. Yeah. This is pretty accurate.
I think so too. And that's like, I would definitely say one is better than two. 100%. You could flip flop Blood Sugar and Use Your Illusion 1 for me. Either way, ask me on the day it might change. But like, I still think this is a good list for those three. Now we get to the hard part. Yeah. So, you two think Metallica is Black Album's number one?
Yep. Definitely.
I'm outvoted.
What do you think?
It's like it's between Pearl Jam's 10 and Black Album for me. So I was fine with either of those going to number one. So if that's number one, I'm not going to argue.
Yeah. Honestly, this is also just. Oh, sorry.
Well, no, we've already talked about it just a little bit, but that album was like a complete turning point for Metallica. The Black Album took them from, you know, this thrash band from San Francisco and literally shot them through the stratosphere. And, you know, they had this heavier sound, this more radio friendly sound. And the Black Album really put Metallica just into this superstardom status that we know them to have today.
Yes.
Yeah, no, seriously, like going back to a little bit of family history, this was the album that got both my parents into being Metallica fans. They hated like the thrash movement back in the 80s. They hated like anything that was like any Metallica from the 80s. So when this album came out, then they saw the appeal. Then they became fans. Then they actually went to go see them in concert. And again, this was when I first started getting into rock music and metal. This was one of the albums that they had that they introduced me to. So like, again, it's just, this kind of started my journey a little bit.
That's awesome.
Fair enough.
I think it was that way for a lot of people. Album was that gateway to, hey, there is this other genre that's a little heavier.
I'll say this too. A song like Enter Sandman is the perfect, is one of those perfect gateway songs into rock. It really is. So
like, absolutely.
It's so versatile. It's something everyone can access, but no one's going to argue what it is, you know? So,
and they fixed Jason's bass on this album. So I'm super thankful for that.
Fixed as in they let him actually play and he be heard. Yeah, fixed. Ugh.
It's audible. So that's awesome.
Yes. That bass track he has is so awesome.
I mean, I'll say this, though. Jason left Metallica after years, but he's on one of the best selling albums of all time with the Black Album. He did OK. He's
doing
okay.
Fine.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
He's gonna be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Now for the grunge three.
You want Pearl Jam at number two.
I would say that is number two. Yes, I really would.
I gotta be honest. I feel like Nevermind would be my second. Okay. Yeah.
I'm honestly super surprised that Rowan and I are so in sync on this one, because I agree.
I'm outvoted. That's fine. I'm not hurt by this one. So, come on.
You want to debate a little bit?
See, my thing for Pearl Jam's 10 is like kind of what I've already said. Nirvana's Nevermind was the pivotal focal point of grunge. This is what you looked at and saw. That's grunge. This is the 90s. This is what music is all about. Nirvana is the biggest thing in the world, and it happened real quick. And everyone knows it. Everyone is getting the album. Even if you aren't into alternative or rock, you know Nevermind. You know Smells Like Teen Spirit. You know the lesser known songs. You know, it's just how it was. Pearl Jam.
It's like
10.
The Black Album.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's like the Black Album, but for grunge fans and for branched that gap or bridged that gap from grunge to the mainstream even further, because mm-hmm. whether he liked it or not, Kurt Cobain was one of the best pop songwriters of yes. all time. Like the way he could hook you into his songs and the way he wrote and the style and everything. He wrote that entire album, you know, in part, and just hooked everyone in. That is the grunge album that really broke grunge into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, seriously. And to your point, like, yeah, everyone knows Teen Spirit. Everyone knows Come As You Are. But like, honestly, even like some of the deeper tracks, it feels like my generation is starting to appreciate that even more now. Like, I remember when the Batman came out back in 2022, they used Something in the Way for the trailer. And that just blew up online, really. Yeah. That pushed streaming numbers for that song like so mm-hmm. far, really.
When you've got it's just kind of like Avatar.
Mm hmm.
Like Avatar yeah. covered that on one of their albums. And I was like, dang, yep. this is rad. Like, you've got Avatar covering Nirvana. That also shows the, you know, exposure is not the right word, but how much Nirvana is in all of these little genres, just a little bit here and there, from the pop to the heavy to, you know, like Avatar and this other band, MXMS. They, you know, do like electronic underground type stuff. And they also covered Something in the Way. So Nirvana is a little bit everywhere from this album.
Sure. So I'm fine with that being number two for how iconic and like, again, you're not going to hear me argue against it. Pearl Jam and Soundgarden. I think that's where it should be for those. Pearl Jam.
I would switch Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, but that's my personal take. I've already kind of like said how I feel about both bands and both albums. By the time I got to 10 and Pearl Jam, I kind of had my fill of grunge. So it didn't really hit for me. Okay. As like, say, if you were kind of like consuming this all when it was coming out,
Alex,
honestly, or finding 10 really first for me, mm-hmm. those two are really hard for me because I've never been a huge Pearl Jam fan. I am okay. so sorry, Luke. I didn't want to tell you that out loud.
That's fine.
No, I'm kind of the same way too.
No, that's so not one good. Of the bands I'm going to faint over. So you're fun.
Luke is going to find new co-hosts after this.
You guys don't like Pearl Jam. What?
Hope you like your heavies.
Pearl, I love you.
Hope you like your heavies. That's the parting gift.
What? You're gonna put out like a application or something like that, and one of the requirements is gonna be has to like Pearl Jam.
Oh,
you
yeah,
did this on purpose.
I won't get you the knew. Weird. Yeah, I won't get the weirdos applying for that. Ooh, can I get free heavies if I also apply? No.
Oh my god! But you can't throw in an Alex free heavies. Uh-huh. They were weak.
Yeah, and yes. Look how they treated
and
me.
And
they
look, the first
Pearl
week
Jam.
And the first week they had them. Look what happened. Go ahead.
Well, that being said, I'm not a huge Pearl Jam fan. I never have been. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like a diehard Soundgarden fan either. But for my personal taste, the sound of Pearl Jam over the sound of Soundgarden, I like the heaviness that Soundgarden brings. I like mm-hmm. Chris Cornell. Okay. I like his vocal style more than I like, you know, Pearl Jam or sure. any of their not as heaviness.
See, that I do agree with. Yes. This is Pearl Jam's best over one of Soundgarden's great albums. So that I do agree with. Soundgarden's way heavier. They reflect metal even on some of that album more than Pearl Jam ever did.
Honestly, I think Alex just helped me figure it out too. Like, there's just more energy found in Bad Motorfinger. Honestly,
there's more
just
raw
overall.
Anger. Yeah, there is more raw anger and like intensity, both in guitars from Kim Thayil and from Chris Cornell. That I agree with.
Yeah. I like it. It's a heavier. It's like a heavy grunge.
It is. Yeah. Soundgarden and Alice in Chains were definitely the heavier side of grunge for sure.
Yeah. Like Eddie Vedder's great.
Yeah.
It's not quite in my little pocket.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to like squirm on the floor writhing to defend Pearl Jam. That's not the case. It's 10 that I love, but at the same time, I get the arguments. I'm not going to really die on the hill for that one. So there's a poll in the chat. I have not looked at the results yet. It's still going. Vote for the top four. Do you, Alex and Rowan, do you like how we have our seven laid?
I feel like this is pretty solid, honestly.
I do too. Like, we made arguments for everything. We kept it fairly civil and we were able to explain why. I don't think anyone can argue how we got to this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, we have solid reasoning.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, some people online, even if you do have like a good reason, like they'll just be like, oh, you have a different opinion than me. And they just go absolutely nuts.
Remember, that's the thing. It's opinion. Yes. So
we want your comments.
They don't see it as an opinion, though.
Leave your rankings in the comments. We do want to know them for sure. But keep in mind, this is YouTube, not Reddit. YouTube's going to kick you if you start like I don't even have to delete comments or like check things in moderator. YouTube just straight up bans you if you get real angry with the death threats. So
worth it.
So debate chat, but don't threaten each other,
right? So while we're at 39 likes, please hit the like button if you haven't already. It would help out a ton. All right, I'm gonna check the poll, then we got to get to the other actual news stories that we're gonna cover. So Metallica won significantly.
Woo!
41%, followed by Nirvana's Nevermind at 32, Pearl Jam's 10 at 14, Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger at 11.
To be honest, I was like looking at the chat during like our whole discussion, mm-hmm. and honestly, a lot of people in the chat pretty much had like a lot of the same experiences that we had for most of these albums, where it's like, oh, hey, I grew up with this album too. This is one of my first. I didn't really care for this one.
Sure.
Or I only go back for the hits.
Just turned 34 yesterday, so happy birthday, Black Album.
Oh, there you go. That's what I was saying. Like, it's the start. Like, this week's the start of the anniversary of this 44-day shenanigan, you know? Mm-hmm. That's less than 7 weeks. That's just barely over 6 weeks that all this came out in the same fall, like end of summer, beginning of fall, when all the kids were dirty, wearing flannel and ripped up jeans, hating their parents. Hey, the more
kids always hated their parents.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. So, thanks.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Teenagers.
Yep. By the way, teenagers, please subscribe. We really appreciate it. We're the podcast that rocks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would you say the grunge aesthetic for like the 90s was like what emo kids in the 2010s would be like? Like they had like a certain look and it was all about just trying to like.
Yes, it is. But one good thing about the grunge look, you didn't have to put a lot of effort into it. Emo, you had to put some effort into that. Like straight.
Y'all,
like,
I just
throw a flannel and jeans on and
flannel. Flannel's barely 5 minutes, especially for the guys. You know, they just roll out of bed and they're ready. Emo took some work. So
I'm wearing flannel pajamas.
I had a faux hawk. I called it a faux hawk. Okay. Oh, yeah. And it was it was like an A-line cut. It was so cute. And it was like the emo kid thing, but I was before the scene kid thing. So that hair was nuts. But I had this faux hawk that was like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, super tall. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
So. But the rest of my hair was still like in a bob. It was like a Karen A-line cut almost, but it looked super cool. And I had this shark fin on top. It was neat. I loved emo shit.
I'm picturing it, and that sounds awesome.
The emo Karen, like,
that's metal. So cool.
Emo Karen is your alter ego now, and like on Halloween, you have to be emo Karen and like go to Hot Topic and complain to the manager. So,
dude, like, you can find a Karen. You can find a Karen Halloween costume. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not even joking. I have an actual Karen in my family, and my dad loves to just like bully her about that name becoming the meme.
Oh,
so he found that costume online and sent it to her.
I just had to describe the A-line cut. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend any Karens, for real.
No,
fine.
We're gonna go to some quick news. First, some good news. This is one of our first follow-ups. Wayne from Hatebreed is recovering after surgery. Again, they caught his like tumor early. Very good. I'm gonna go quick blurb because he said some stuff. Hello everyone, I'm finally home. Last week was rough, but I'm getting better every day. Gonna be a while before I fully recovered, but it's going good. I want to thank you all for the messages. I didn't have my phone at the hospital, so that's why I didn't respond. Just started to look over them today. I really appreciate it. Made me feel good. See, this is the nice story. Okay, and that scar, yeah, that's what brain surgery does to you.
It looks badass though. I would say own it.
It looks like it
for
is
yeah.
So like when I worked at the hospital, because I did IT work in the operating rooms for years, like and all that, like setting up anesthesia carts, the computers there, everything. I've been in brain surgery a couple times. It's like that. Like they pin your skin back and like they have to like keep it pinned back to get in there and then like put it back when they're done. Yeah, it's graphic. So this scar. Yeah. Like it's going to look pretty awesome once it heals up.
Honestly, like I'm surprised you're able to handle that. I don't know if this is for anyone else. I could handle like gore and body horror in movies and TV, but if I see it in real life, I get like really just like
sure
anxious.
See, like my thing before we go on, like when I was in operating rooms multiple times a day, like all the ones like brain surgery, all the other surgeries were the planned ones I was okay with. It's the trauma ones, the ones that are like accidents in emergency ERs. That's the stuff that got to me. I saw some sick stuff in there. And like they're just they're working on people and they're like, oh, so you see the game yesterday? Oh yeah, blah blah blah. While they're operating it in an emergency room. Yes, they are. And I'm sitting there working on a computer, helping them figure out like medical records and stuff on the software, go like, the heck's wrong with everyone?
So. They're cutting some poor bastard open and they're just being like, oh, hey, you see any new episodes of Simpsons yesterday? Oh, yes. My God. Yeah, it was hilarious.
So now we get to the point where Alex gets upset. Do you see this headline, Alex? It dropped today. Suspect arrested for stealing tribute flowers from Ozzy Osbourne Memorial in Birmingham. They stole gifts and flowers from the Ozzy Memorial.
Ooh.
You suck, whoever did that. I hate you, and I hope the worst happens to you for that.
The guy was caught. I don't know if everything was retrieved in any aspect. The stolen tributes were part of a growing collection at one Birmingham's most significant memorial sites for heavy metal icon. Despite the incident, fans worldwide continued to honor Ozzy. And yeah, the items were placed by fans.
Can I ask what situation are you in that you're stealing flowers off of like memorial?
Yeah, and I was thinking to like the gifts and stuff. All those gifts like were personal and like they weren't leaving watches and cell phones and stuff for you to cash in.
Like, I drew this picture of you, Ozzy, here, Ozzy, in memorial. What are you going to do with that? You're not honoring Ozzy by keeping this in your house. You're dishonoring. Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow.
Yeah, also, like, flowers die. It's like, you can't even say this is a memento from Ozzy's, like, thing, because eventually those things are going to wilt. So it's like...
And my thing is also, what are you going to do with all that stuff when you take it home? Just going to set it up. It's like, yeah, look what I got. That's what random people put on his grave. Why would you do that anyway?
He's going to have his own little Ozzy mini shrine, but he's too cheap or lazy to get actual stuff to contribute.
That's cheap, considering a lot of this stuff is just paper cutouts and flowers you can buy at any grocery store.
Yeah.
Seriously, I hope your friends leave your dinner party when you're like, look at this stuff I stole from my Ozzy shrine. Be like, get out of here. We're going to get our own pizza.
Yep.
I hope he has like a family dinner. He reveals that to his family. His father spits at him and his mother says, you are not my son. That's what deserves to happen to them.
Disown.
Yeah, disown. Yeah. I saw this posted this afternoon or this evening even. And I'm like, oh, let me add this story really quick. Because they found the person and they arrested him. So no more of this. So moving on, we also have one other follow-up for a moron in the news. So remember last week when Chris Franz attacked Mr. Beast over claiming his charity wells in Africa weren't working? Well, Mr. Beast followed up and said, here's all the audits for every one of them. They are working. Pay up. And he gave a kiss emoji. Franz paid up and said, good job. Keep up the great work. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. Well, why is this worth it? Was this worth it?
I'm going to tell you it wasn't worth it. You want to know how I know? I checked the analytics for their Spotify before and after like this whole situation. There was virtually no change whatsoever. So it's not even like he got an uptick in views or streams or something like that. He just made himself look like a douchebag for 5 minutes. And now he's out of pocket $5,000. So congratulations, Chris. No one gives a crap about your stupid band. And now you just made yourself look like more of a jackass online.
I will say this.
He supported water. So that's good.
Yeah, that's something. That's something. That's a tax write off, I guess.
He supported it because he got backed into a corner. It's like if he didn't pay up, he would he would never hear the end of it.
I'm giving him kudos for doing it because he didn't do it on his own, but I'm saying good came out of it in the end where they're getting water.
Somebody will benefit from this. What no one's going to bet. I'm going through the news a little bit quick because we have other stories we want to do too. Just want to make sure we have time. Another thing that no one benefits from, Brent Hinds is still crapping all over the rest of his former bandmates in Mastodon. How long was this going on? I'm not going to even quote him because it's more of this petty old man crap. It's like, their guitars were never that good. None of them can sing either. It's that type of stuff on old
petty
posts.
Old man crap.
Yeah, that's what it is. And it's on older posts. People are finding out that's what's going on. They found like an old post from 2012 that he's responding to now. And like follow up is like, no one can sing in that band. It's like,
what is he doing? That is sad. If that's what it's coming to, that is sad.
And that's why I say old man petty crap. I don't know how else to describe it. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So
I would just love to be a fly in the wall, like during the weeks or days leading up to this. Cause like, I just got to imagine what the hell he was like in person with the rest of the guys. Cause it could not have been good.
It couldn't have. You can't talk this much crap on a band that you like co-founded just because you guys had some creative differences or you guys didn't get along or there was some, you know, turmoil while touring. This is not the way to act about that.
And this has to be way more than creative differences too. Way more than that. You know,
the guys, I think I said this when
the guys in System of a Down have creative differences. That's why you're never going to hear new music again. You don't hear this level of toxicity. No pun intended.
No.
I think I said this like when this when we first talked about Brent leaving and just kind of like him just throwing shade at them. But like there are plenty of videos online of him crashing out on stage or just kind of like him losing his temper in general. And even like when I read about like fan interactions, he's always like the one that people say is the least approachable and everyone else is like super nice. So, I mean, like, I know that's probably not the best like reference, but
I get what you're saying.
There's a pattern.
I've seen that echoed before too, also by joke. You mean the guy with bullets tattooed on his forehead isn't approachable? So, well, you know, so someone said in chat, Dave Mustaine would tell him to tone it down. Dang. Woof.
By the way, I see that he's like saying that Braun and Troy can't sing. This is just me being petty, but I'm going to say this. Brent was my least favorite out of the three singers.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
comparing them,
my argument, like you're just like trying to find things that rag on them for, even if it doesn't make sense. And you're doing it on old posts that people are finding out and then replying to them over a decade later. Come on.
It's weird too. Like, stop. Yeah.
I just imagine like the guy who first made that comment, he just gets like a notification on his phone. Brent Hinds responds to your like message.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Right.
I posted back in 2012.
Like what is this?
I was in high school back
then. This can't be real.
I was in high school back then. Now I have a family.
Yeah.
So we then go
on. I forgot my Mastodon shirt.
Yeah. I think I still have it in a drawer somewhere. All right.
Yeah.
One cool thing that happened in our ongoing story of Europe has better festivals than America. Bloodstock apparently was a magnificent spectacle and everything was awesome and we weren't there.
Oh, love that. Oh, hey, is it? Mastodon was there too. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Actually, wait. I remember this. Did you guys see that Bron Daler sort of responded to Brent's statements?
It was and quiet and just like, yeah. It was the equivalent of, So,
yeah, it was just like chat. It was like this. It was someone else's like post of Mastodon set at Bloodstock and just like in the corner, like very subtly, you can see like it's like it sounds in key to me or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Lacuna Coil at Bloodstock.
Oh, I was wrong.
Christina Scabia does not age. She is in her 50s.
Yeah, she's kicking.
I legit thought that was Poppy for a sec.
She looks so young.
Yeah,
I'm not accusing her. Yeah, I'm not accusing her of witchcraft. I'm just saying something has to have happened. So
vampirism is not the same as witchcraft, Luke.
Okay, well, not going to Italy anytime soon then.
Oh my god, while we're talking about this, three performing with Trivium, how awesome was that?
And according to Trivium themselves and other people that were there, they said that was the best Trivium performance ever. festival wise, and they've had some big ones. So that's quite the statement if that's true. But yeah, bringing that many people out, like also to play with them at different songs. Yeah, that's pretty great.
So, I wonder if it's just because of the anonymity that they have, but whenever members of Sleep Token go off and do like special performances with like other bands, mm-hmm. it just feels more special.
Sure.
Because like you have four singing with Bring Me the Horizon, you had two play it back to the beginning. I'm just waiting for a Vessel just to appear on someone else's like stage and sing.
Yeah.
The internet would go crazy.
Here's the band Creeper, who announced their new album later this year that I really enjoy, from the UK. They were great. They had a full stage pyro presentation. People were digging that, they said. So lots also of did that. Stuff.
Super cool homage to Lemmy, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. That was super rad with his ashes and everything.
So what does all that mean? It means while everyone in Europe is having these spectacles of festivals that go off without a hitch, we here in the States get festivals canceled. If they do happen, there's occasional problems. And that's about where we're at right now. So
spectacles of festivals. I love it.
Yeah. Look at what they're getting right here. You know, just fun stuff. And that's just like a random side stage band. I don't know if Bloodstock's one of the ones you have to camp at. I'm not sure. Some festivals.
I would happily do that.
See. Yeah. What I said, spectacles of festivals. Look at this photo. If you're listening,
it's a spectacle.
It's a massive amount of fireworks with the main stage going on. It's awesome. So, yep. So Riot Fest is a month away. I'm hoping that's the one that like the last couple of years I've gone, they played through the rain last year on the last day, and it's still off without a hitch. No bands were even delayed. So you know what? Here's hoping Riot Fest delivers. Please. Don't let 2025 be the year of the bummer festivals in the United States.
No.
Speaking of one big show, though, next year, who wants to go on a road trip? Alex, Rowan, you want to go cross seas to see My Chemical Romance perform at Wembley Stadium?
That's not a road trip. That's an airplane trip.
Okay, fine.
Road boat trip.
Okay, well, you know what? Fine.
You can drive your car through the Atlantic?
Okay, ha ha ha. You can take a boat then. I'll find my own way. There you go.
You're going to take a car and you're going to freaking drown like 5 miles into your journey. Even that.
We'll get one of the big planes that I can roll the car into and lift us up there. Jeez. Use your head.
So we're not even in the plane. We're just sitting in your car in the cargo section of a plane. That's your plan.
We can get cars from there to here, Rowan. Come on.
Why would we have to be in the car?
And then we wouldn't have to buy a car rental when we're there. I'm saving money.
I don't think you are. I think that's even more expensive than just going to Hertz in England.
No, it is worth it. Driving on the wrong side of the car is really hard. Mm-hmm. I hated it. It was miserable.
General question, would you get in trouble if you had an American car driving on England because of...
There's
really?
Restrictions, like it's a totally different train because you're driving with this wheel on the right. Like you have to make lefts instead of rights because the other side. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. However, they're going to do the entirety of the Black Parade in a 2.5-hour sets along with all the other hits. So tickets go on sale this Friday. So if you got the money and funds, you have time to plan. That I like. I like that you can plan ahead a year out. It's going to be in July of next year. So that way you can prepare. Bad news. It's through our favorite site, Ticketmaster. Sure hope those servers are working, everybody. I sure hope
nothing happens that you can't go to the concert anymore, because good luck getting your money back.
I feel like for this one, there's a lot more insurance behind it. Like with a system like this, I would hope it's a Wembley Stadium show, you know? So like, that's a big, big one. So we shall see. However, we move on. Final thing in Australian festival news. Good things 2025 looks great and stole our idea of having a random festival. Hey, Australia, we know you're watched now. Good Things Festival, 3 days in 3 different cities in Australia this December, headlined by Tool, Weezer, and Garbage.
Yay.
Also has Lorna Shore and Knocked Loose. What are you
going to say?
This is almost...
This is our lineup.
This is infringement at this point, Good Things Fest, okay?
So. Yeah. Who?
Let's throw Kubla Khan in all-time low on the promoter. Same lineup.
Yeah, also Gwar, and Weezer on the same thing, and Palais Royale, we get them on ours. So clear, and Wargasm, clearly you got some ideas from a podcast. Pretty sure.
I gotta, there has gotta be something that, like, there's gotta be some sort of like thing that they gotta sign, like a contract where Weezer has to interact with bands like Tool and Gwar and Knocked Loose on stage somehow. Please, Weezer, I will die if that happens.
Weezer, was it Weezer that played with Olivia Rodrigo at Coachella? Or was it
yes?
Okay. I could see,
I think Weezer, it was, yeah.
I could see Weezer having someone to come on stage. Ooh, Shirley Manson. That actually could work a little bit. I don't know.
I could see Rivers Cuomo going up on stage and getting killed by Gwar.
Yes. Yes. Oh, Goldfinger's on there for the punk, like the ska shenanigans. Get out of here. You don't watch our podcast. Get out of here. You added a ska band or two on there just because Cobra Starship? Really? Okay.
It's super weird.
We're not saying
what is Cobra Starship? That name sucks.
Okay, that was like an early 2010s band. I don't, Alex, how would you describe it? That's like MTV pop rock.
Is it crapcore?
It's like All American Rejects meets 303. I don't know. Is that kind of close?
That's closer, yes.
That's such a bad name.
303 is closer. And also, it's like this would be like a TikTok band years before TikTok existed. Cobra Starship.
Gotcha. So, hate that name though, seriously. Sorry I keep saying that, but still, like, my God.
It's fine.
That's like an AI generated band name.
So as I pull up our last week's album versus album, we're gonna go through this pretty quickly because YouTube keeps crapping out. Bah, bah, bah. So last week we had our little follow-up of which Korn album everyone liked best on the community tab. 3,800 votes. Follow the Leader won significantly.
Bro.
Significantly. I kind of expected that just because it's name value. That album art is iconic. They know the singles on that one. I expected it. So.
And Freak on a Leash is so huge. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the thing. Are they judging it? Are they truly judging it based on it as an album as a whole?
Oh, no.
That's what I want to know.
That's the thing. The question, which Korn album do you prefer? That's the question. So.
We didn't ask anybody to do homework or provide sources. It's fine.
No. This is America. You don't have to research to vote. Another topical thing. I'm on fire. Hire me, Daily Show. So we now go on our poll of the week for this album versus album. This one was chosen by Rowan as I make it. I don't have the images pulled up yet, but it will be when I link it to later.
Starting a war with this one, Chad.
So we're going against a band versus band on this album versus album. Rowan, go ahead and list it off.
Okay, Chad, hope you're ready. First of all, we got System of a Down's Toxicity. And what is going up against them, you may ask? Slipknot's debut. We're going to see where you guys stand today.
It's in the poll right now. It's in the chat. So I'll go first. Toxicity is a masterpiece, and so is Self-Titled. They are both iconic for each band. They are classics. They deserve all the praise of the world. I feel like I would go with Slipknot's Self-Titled just by a hair, by one hair, as a complete album. Alex, your thoughts.
I'm going to go Slipknot because I know that full album all the way through, and I do enjoy it all the way through. It is a fantastic album. It's a great debut. I'm not as deep in System of a Down, mm-hmm. aside from a couple of the, you know, most notable tracks.
The chat's catching up.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Rowan, how about you?
I'm going to say it. Overall, I like Slipknot more than System of a Down, but if we're just talking the albums, I like Toxicity more than the debut, just because I listen to Toxicity so much that I kind of know that album like front to back. Yeah. And although I could say the same thing with Slipknot, I just remember the songs more on Toxicity more, really.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Fair arguments all around. I'll leave the poll up really just for a little bit. As we move on to our song of the week, this one also chosen by Rowan this week. Something very different in that tone, by the way. Rowan, go ahead with song of the week.
Okay, so Chat, first of all, Metal Fourth, Baby Metal's new album has just been just really fun to listen to. Going back to our heavies real quick, that was the first album, like full album, I listened to with the heavies. And it was just so much fun. And not counting the singles off of that that's been released for the last couple months, but I really enjoyed Sunset Kiss off the record. That's the song they did with Polyphia. And for anyone who just kind of like who doesn't know, to be honest, I really enjoy listening to anime music. Like if an anime show I watch has a good intro song, I usually just listen to that in my spare time. And I don't know why, this just gives me like that vibe. It's just so energizing, this song. And I just feel good listening to it. I don't know what the hell they're saying. I don't speak Japanese, but I don't really care about that type of thing. It just makes me feel good listening to it.
Very briefly, have either of you watched K-pop Demon Hunter on Netflix? My wife and I just watched it.
I want to.
Both of you would like it. Like we watched it together, just talking about anime and Japanese music. You both would like it, I promise. My wife and I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It's a little dumb.
There's
at
a
times,
lot of anime, like,
but it's fun. So
there's a lot of anime like songs or songs used in anime that go hard. Chat, if anyone knows Unravel that was used in Tokyo Ghoul, that is an amazing song. I highly recommend you look it up. You don't have to watch the show, you don't have to read the series, you just have to like just listen to the song. It just goes so hard.
And as we move on, thank you guys for hanging with us. We're gonna go for upcoming albums and tours that got announced. Alex, what tours got announced this week? I know of a couple, but go ahead.
We've got Linkin Park. They just announced their first Australian tour since 2013. Super exciting. Mm-hmm. That'll be super fun. I hope everybody gives us full reports on that one.
Yes.
Tool just added a second Hawaii show after the first one sold. Mm-hmm. Super, super fast. Record time. And then we talked about Tool, Weezer, Garbage, Lorna Shore. Super weird. Mm-hmm. Festival announced.
I'm sure it'll be great, but yeah, it's weird.
No, it's super. Yeah, rad. I like it. I like it when not everything has to fit into a perfect little box. Memphis Mayfire just announced a U.S. tour with Rain City Drive, Never Tell, and If Not For Me. Ezra Ray Hart announced some tour dates. Ooh, pushed a button. Sorry.
You're fine.
And that is Evan Griffin of Better Than Ezra, Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray, and Emerson Hart of Tonic.
What
very
a
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super interesting band. I didn't know that they were doing stuff, but they're doing some stuff. Kicks off in November. And then Skillet are hitting the road, and Bloodstock 2026 announced. It's mm-hmm. their 25th anniversary. We've got Lamb of God, Slaughter to Prevail, Judas Priest, Sepultura, Death Angel, Vended. And lots of really big names on that one.
And that's only the first wave. There's going to be a lot more bands. Sick. A lot more bands get announced. So very nice. Rowan, what albums do we have coming out on August 15th, 2025?
We got a solid list coming out. First of all, I want to give some light to a band called Miracell, releasing a single called Love Bomb this Friday. They're very new. They kind of combine metalcore with shoegaze, and honestly, I just really love their sound, really. So they played snippets of the song leading up to it on Instagram. It's good stuff. I'm already hyped for it. But now going into just like the bigger releases. First of all, we had Ellison Soto with Unbreakable. This is a duo collaboration with David Ellison, ex-Megadeth guitarist, the one who did Rust in Peace. So, you know, the one to look out for. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Scott Soto, who was Yngwie Malmsteen's singer back in the 80s. I have a story that ends with me telling Yngwie himself to go F himself over the phone. That's all I'm going to say. moving on, we have Rise Against with Ricochet. And fun fact, doing some research, I think whoever does the list for Loudwire when it comes to album releases, I think you got to... You got to double check because you misspelled Ricochet. You add in an H and it's
Ricochet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Ricochet. They weren't trying to be clever there. It's actually Ricochet. Every other site says Ricochet. Okay. They just made a mistake. And then finally, this is the one I'm most excited for. Chevelle with Bright as Blasphemy. And we talked about their tour coming up for this album that they're bringing Asking Alexandria on.
Yes.
And hopefully on that tour, they clean up their act because, my God, that's just been a dumpster fire watching that.
It's been unfortunate, but Chevelle's great. I'm hopeful for the new album. I'm definitely going to check it out day it comes out. So Good stuff.
Chevelle's awesome. And mm-hmm. yeah, same sort of genre, same like era, but like, I don't want to give anything away, but we got stacked like a release next week.
Yeah.
The 22nd. If you know, you know.
Absolutely. So that being said, thank you so much. We do have one super chat to go through right now. And we just hit the like goals. We have two festivals to book from Ellie Yeats. Oh, this is about Good Things Festival because he's in Australia. Tool and Weezer are actually headlining a festival near me in December. Never thought I'd see those two names directly with each other on the same stage. What with these homies living vicariously? Get it? Because vicariously, get it? Yeah. So Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. That's a trip. But you know what? I'm glad that many bands are doing the 3 days because that's what a lot of festivals do in Australia, from what I understand. Good for them. They get to see a ton of different bands, you know, and a lot of variety.
Honestly, that would be one of the fun ones to do destination.
Mm-hmm,
I can skip My Chemical Romance if it means going to this one, Luke. I mean,
I'm going to be honest. It's probably
easier. I mean, just in general, I would go to a festival rather than a single show.
I'm going to be honest. It'd be easier to get into this one than My Chem at Wembley, by the way. Way easier. So that being said, are we ready to book some festivals?
Hell yeah. We just hit the goal too.
We just hit the goal. That's right. So we got two festivals. Thank you all so much. I'm going to go here. Where'd you go? Wabam, wabam. Every week when we hit a like goal and when we have what the world happened there? There we go. The windows were all messed up. We play a game called Festival Rock or Flop, where we book random bands in the middle of nowhere festival, kind of like what this Australian thing did with us and took our idea but made a whole mini-band festival, one-upping us. We can only afford four bands per festival, unfortunately, but you'll have to deal with that. These are in the middle of nowhere. We book them at random. I added more bands this week because I just saw another concert yesterday. What do you guys think
is there any way that you can
call today? Go ahead, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, is there any way that we can patent this? And then anytime a festival gets announced, it just is too weird. We can sue for copyright infringement, get paid.
We should be able to. The problem, though, is how are we going to prove that they used a randomizer like that? That's the problem.
Oh, no, we probably do something. You could you can get people like to. Oh, my God.
See, this was on last week's episode. You are hearing from my lawyer.
Yeah.
Like,
this is the first time I really feel like it's got to be a little obvious at this point. Someone's paying attention. Okay. So,
here we go. You want to call it Chill Fest or something? It may
Chill like Fest. Quiet sure. week. You know what? It's a quiet week. Chill Fest works for me. Here we go. Band number one of Monsters and Men, who announced a new album coming later this year, and they're chill. There you go. It fits.
That's fitting.
Chill Fest, band number one. They're doing a North America tour too. I'm very excited about that. Like, to go with their upcoming album, first one in 6 years. Number two, Shaman's Harvest. That actually works with Chill Fest as well. With like the blues rock stuff they do, it's actually pretty on brand. Number three, Smashing Pumpkins. I can see it. You know what?
Yeah,
I can see
works.
It working. Yes, they have enough material to make that work. And number four, Killswitch Engage. And you know what? We'll have them anyway. I don't know how chill they can be, especially Adam, who goes insane, but that's fine with me. I would go to
this is a yes for me. I love all these bands. They may not all work, but I love these bands individually.
It's definitely random, but at the same time, no one would turn this down, I don't think. Alex?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yes or
weird,
no in the chat. Yes or no in the chat. Would you go to this one? I don't know where we didn't say where this one's going to be. Middle of nowhere. True middle of nowhere. We'll go with, somewhere in North Dakota.
Wyoming.
Wyoming. That's fine. Too,
North Dakota. Oh my God.
North Dakota or Wyoming. One of the two. There you go. But you're getting Smashing Pumpkins and Killswitch Engage of Monsters and Men, Shaman's Harvest. You know what? That works just fine. I'm seeing yeses across the board, by the way, in chat. That's an easy one. Up next, for our last second day, thank you very much. This is Yeet Fest out of Australia. Yeet Fest is coming to have their second day in the middle of Wyoming or North Dakota. Here we go. Band number one, Yeet Fest. The Offspring. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, Tool. Number three, Ice Nine Kills. Number four, Panic at the Disco.
This will be a very visually stimulating show, at the very least.
I mean, it's going to be fun.
It will be fun. Yeah. Ice Nine Kills, Tool, Panic at the Disco.
We got to assume that these bands will interact with each other somehow on stage, right? In these little hypotheticals we make.
Just so Maynard can make fun of the guy from Panic at the Disco, Brendan? Is that that's his name?
I feel like, yeah, Brendan, yeah. I feel like he'd be in on it, though.
Maybe he'd be a good sport. I don't know. I really don't know. I would go to this. Absolutely.
I would, too.
Panic at the Disco, they're headlining When We Were Young this year, so they're still going to try to do stuff, even though it is kind of just his own, Brendan Urie's own band at this point. Yeah, there's no reason I wouldn't go. Come on, Tool headliner.
I think this will be fun.
Yeah.
Offspring, you know you're going to be singing along.
Yeah, it's true. The times I've seen Offspring, it always is that type of sing-along. Everyone's just moving around when they hear Come Out and Play and, what's the other one? Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Well, like, the Offspring have such a weird discography of very serious and the cheesiest stuff imaginable.
What's that one song they made about, like, it's about his experience as a scientist, and it's about splitting atoms? Am I thinking of that wrong? Do you guys know what song I'm talking about?
He has a PhD. He has a doctorate. I don't know what song that is, though. It's not Why Don't You Get a
There Job. Was some song he made about splitting atoms, and he, like, reworked it into, like, a love song or something.
I don't know. I just know I'm going to be like, and then be like, it feels like
on the same album. Yes, correct.
Exactly.
Again, totally serious, absolute smelly cheese. Like the cheesiest stuff, you know? So that's the band. I see yeses. Like some people are saying, fine, yes, I'll go. Oh, why didn't I think of that? Brendan would be decapitated by Ice Nine Kills on stage, obviously. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. See, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Successful festivals this week. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in with us and sticking around as well. It was a quiet week, but I'm glad we did the little game with ranking the Iconic 7. That was fun and something different. Please leave comments. Let us know what you guys thought of all this as well. We do want to know. So, that being said, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be here next week talking about all the shenanigans. Alex, you have anything you would like to bring up before we start closing things down?
Nope.
Rowan, how about you?
I want to say sorry for that album versus album. That was like, for some of you guys I saw in the chat, that was like picking what was your favorite child.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everyone knows there's actually a favorite.
This.
Yeah, but you don't say it out loud.
Yep. With the poll, I'm glad you said that. The poll says Toxicity by a significant margin, 61% to 38%. I believe it.
All right.
So we will report back next week when I put this on the community tab. And see what's going on there, because that's where thousands of votes get in. So, that being said, thank you all so much. We'll be back next week. Early access right now for my next video is up on Patreon for YouTube members, if you want to check that out early. Final thing, Alex, you are back on the winning record after you got our guest host Kevin last week to laugh. And a little bit.
Kevin's not here to sabotage us this week.
So.
Oh, come on. Even when they're terrible, week? They're great.
There have been one or two in the past year that have not been great. I will say that. So,
but right. They're so bad, they're good.
No, okay.
Yeah, but that's not all of them. There are some ones that are just genuinely bad.
because it's extinct.
Okay.
Right. Dear laughs out now, buddy.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so my friend's daughter can't decide whether she wants to be a hairdresser or a short story writer. I guess she'll have to flip a coin. Heads or tails?
I get it, but it's such a stretch.
I know. It's been a weird week. So
that's
this
a weird one.
I'm going to be honest. It took me a second to really get the punchline in. Yes, it's a thinker.
I like a little bit of a head scratcher, this one just... I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to bring this one out. And I did. I was brave.
Okay.
Heads or tails?
Chat, throw your stuff now.
Yeah.
I'll take it genuinely this time. I earned it.
Oh, wait, where am I?
You heard from her. Chat, she don't hold back.
You just walk on stage. Okay, throw your stuff at me. I'm ready.
I'm ready for it for real this time.
It's like a scene in like a war movie where it's like a guy's like holding out, like holding his arms out, and like a rain of arrows just drops down on him.
The movie Hero. Yes.
Wow. I got planes, trains, and automobiles. I think that's good.
Grapes, pretzels. That's like maybe half a tomato. What? Half a tomato. Okay,
I will take half of the tomato. The pity tomato. I will gladly take it.
Okay, so I'm not laughing, but it was a good one, Alex. I'll give you that. Someone said LMFAO radio.
You got one guy.
Yeah, so you got a couple people that are okay. What are
the hell is that? Oh. You're like leaning in.
Yes. Can anyone inform me? Someone
what,
had
ginger?
Their, is no. I'm just looking at all the other emotes now.
He's throwing giraffes.
Giraffes, martinis, head explosions, books. Okay, that's appropriate.
Thank you. Tails. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm so clever.
Points. Yes. Cats in a box. Well, Alex might actually take.
She would love that though.
Yeah. That's not a punishment.
Isn't that a No Doubt song? Just kidding.
What? Oh, goodness.
There's a No Doubt song called Trapped in a Box. So I say, cats in a box.
Yes. No, that I got. Yes. No, I got that one. That would have counted if that would have been something late into a dad joke. So.
I'll work on it.
Okay.
You got to find like some rock themed ones if there are any. That'd be cool.
Next week, we'll be back with more dad jokes. We'll be back with more content. Thank you again, Heavies. We'll start doing the proper Heavies branding and stuff later. Thank you again. Have a great night. Please leave comments letting us know what you think about our ranking of the Iconic 7. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Please, please.
You guys throwing money at you, so I guess cool.
Rats. Oh, no. Yeah. Your joke was so bad, you need money to fix it. Rats.
Please, don't send me more money, please.
Yeah. I just imagine a homeless busker just saying bad jokes and people are just giving him money.
Oh, crap. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Here's my Venmo. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.